71A2, the end, closer to the end of the page. In the Gemara, it's Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph. In Kedushin, it's about 20 lines from the end of the page. Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph. Okay. 71A2, second column. Amr Rabbi Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Bar Bachanan said, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara before, the Gemara is getting into this, because the Gemara was talking before that the non-kosher families, they didn't announce it often, not that often. So the Gemara is continuing in different things about the same thing. Amr Rabbi Bar Bachanan Rabbi Yechanan. Shem ben Arbaesius. The name of four letters, meaning Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Hashem. Chachamim Meitzin Eser Tamidim is transmitted to the stages. Pam Achaz B'Shavu, once every 7 years. V'amro Pamayim B'Shavu. Now, obviously, what it means is the in-depth meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, what they used to use in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? In the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash, when we read Davin, we say Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we don't pronounce it Yud Kei Vav Kei, we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adnai. Okay? In the Beis HaMikdash, they pronounced it the way the name is sounded, Yud Kei Vav Kei with the vowels, okay? But the in-depth meaning, because obviously everybody knows how it's spelled and how you pronounce it, but the Gemara says the in-depth meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Chachamim did not give over to the Talmidim, only once every 7 years or twice in 7 years. Amr Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said, Mistabra, it's logical, which one of the two versions is right, once in 7 years or twice in 7 years? It's probably once in 7 years, because it's less revealing. Twice in 7 years, double as much. Because it says in the Pasuk, Dichsiv, Zesh Mi La'olam, this is my name forever. La'olam is without a vav. Right? Now normally the word la'olam is with a vav. When you have la'olam without a vav, it reads the word la'aleim helam, to hide. So because it says to hide, so logically, the more you hide it, that's what the pasuk means. So if you have a choice, which opinion, once in the 7 years or twice in 7 years, it's more logical to say it was once in 7 years. So the Gemara says, Rava Sava LeMidrash BePirka. Rava once decided to teach the in-depth meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei in a public lecture. Amalei Hu Sava, this old man said to him, La'olam Ksiv, it says La'alein, meaning to hide it. So don't, it's not, you can't teach the deep meanings of Hashem's name in public. So he didn't let him do it. Okay? Then the Gemara says, this is all very easy Gemara, the whole next page is over here. Rabbi Avina asked a contradiction. One pasuk says, Zeshmi, this is my name. And another pasuk says, Zezichri, this is the way I mentioned. My remembrance. So what does it mean? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem said, Leik Shani Nichtov, not the way I'm written, Ani Nikra is the way I'm pronounced. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, Nichtov Ani V'Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's written Yud Kei Vav Kei. But it's read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Okay, the Gemara just says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Meaning, Hashem says, there's my name, and there's the way it's remembered. My name, the way it's written, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The way it's pronounced is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adnai. So that's exactly what he said before. This is the way Hashem's name is written and the way it's pronounced.
Is the real name of Hashem?
Yeah. We'll soon see there's a very interesting Rashi over here. Let's first see the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, the Ramad said like this. But Ishaina, originally in the earlier generations, Shem ben Shtaim Esrei Asius, the name of Hashem, which is 12 letters, Hayumaisin Lechol Adam. They would give it over to everybody. They taught everybody the name of Hashem with 12 letters. Misharaba Aparitzim, when the indiscreet people, meaning the people that didn't behave properly, okay, Hayumaisin and Aisil it's Nuim Shebekuhuna. They only gave it, in other words, in the Beis HaMikdash, initially, they would give the name, the 12 letter name. Rashi says, by the way, interesting, Shem ben Shem Asrei, V'chein Aboyim Mishtayim, Leipir Shulanu. Rashi says, we don't know what it is. I'm sure Chassidus and Kabbalah explain, but Rashi over here says, we don't know what. But the Gemara says, the name of Hashem of 12 letters, first, everybody knew it. Then, when too many not nice people were using that name, so what happens, are you Mason and Asil at Snuin Shibektuna? They would give it over to the discreet Koyanim, meaning the pure Koyanim. Vatsinuim Shibekuhuna, and the discreet, nice Koyanim, Mavlim Asi Beniimis Achayim Akoyanim. They would murmur it under the melody of the fellow Kohanim. Meaning, when they did Bechat Kohanim, right? So, the Koyanim that knew it, but they didn't want everybody to know it. So they, when everybody was singing and doing it, so they would murmur the name of Yud Beis, the 12 letter name, quietly. No, they would say it. They would murmur. They would say it. Tanya, in fact, the Gemara says, Amr Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon says, Reb Tarfon was a Kohen. So he says, Pam achas, one time, Alisi acher achiim iluduchen. I went up to Duchen with my mother's brother. I mean, it's interesting. He's Reb Tarfon's father was a Kohen and his mother was a Kohen. So he went with his mother's brother. And I was next to the Kohen Gadol and I was trying to hear what the Kohen Gadol was saying. The Shemaiti, and I heard Shevliya Shem, that he murmured the 12-lettered name of Hashem, Bini'imis Echov HaKohenim, under the melody of the Kohenim, his brothers. Meaning, again, he made sure that nobody can hear it, you know, properly, because they didn't want that name to be such a holy name, people would misuse it. In other words, people that had that name would do miracles with it, and they were not good people. In fact, they said Yoshka did miracles because he got the name that they did in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was using it to walk on water, or whatever else, whatever things he was doing. Rav, so, it was not proper. What?
Rav Tarfon must be very old. Since he's seen Kohen Gadol. It's been a long time since Kohen Gadol and...
No. Reb Tarfon was in the time of destruction of Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, but Reb Tarfon is talking, right? So
yeah.
He's lived that long, till the Gemara was written.
No, it's in the Braise. No, they quoted, not that... Reb Tarfon didn't say it in the Gemara. The Braise quoted that Reb Tarfon said, Ayin Aleph Amir Aleph, that he said that once when... But Reb Tarfon was at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
With Rabbi Kiva. At that time, he probably meant the Shmuel Kohen Gadol, because Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol in his time.
Rabbi Yehuda also Kohen?
Who?
Rabbi Yehuda.
No, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi?
Yeah.
No, he came from Beis David. Mm-hmm. Okay, Amir Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Rabbi Yehuda Merav said, we're in Ayin Aleph, Amir Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines from the end of the page. Again, Rashi says that we don't know what this is. There's a name of God that has 12 letters, there's 20 to 42 letters, okay? Is not given over. A person who is modest, I mean, not modest, discreet, on of humble, aimed at B'chatzi Yom, halfway through his life, and I'll explain what that means in a second. Ve'inakayas, a guy never gets angry. Ein mishtaka, never becomes drunk, because then you lose control over yourself. Ein maimed amidaisiv, he does not insist that it's his way or the highway. V'chol ayedeya, and anyone who knows this name of Hashem, and he's careful to use it only at the right time. V'amishamere b'tahara, and keeps it pure, meaning he never does it when he's impure, right? Only when he's tahar. It says that such a person, all of Lamaila is beloved by Hashem above, v'nechma lamata, and precious down here on the earth, v'imasi mutala salabrius, and his awe and fear are on people, v'nechul shnei elamim, and he inherits both words, elam azev, elam abba. Meaning like this. The Gemara says, the Gemara learns out in a different place, in Sanhedrin. In fact, the Gemara learns about Bilam. The pasuk says in Tilim, Yemeshin Eseinu Behem Shivim Shana. David HaMelech says, average lifespan is 70 years. So what's half of that? 35. So the Gemara says 35 is middle age. That's what it is, middle age. It's 35. If you live 70, 35. So he says, once a person gets 35, the worldly temptations are not. They're still strong anymore. You know, they're already middle age. You know, you lose all the temptations. So the Gemara says, Rav Yudam Rav says, this name of Hashem of 42 letters, whatever it is, was given over only to a person who's discreet, meaning he's not going to go around telling everybody. He's humble. He's halfway through his life, so he doesn't have tivus anymore. He never gets angry. He doesn't get drunk. He doesn't insist on his way, or that's it. And he's such, that's a holy person. So that person, you could teach the name of Hashem of Membez.
What's the reason they don't want to know everybody's name?
Because they said people would use it for the wrong reasons. People would do miracles with it. People would do things with it. And it's such a holy name. You don't...
Which people? You talk about Kohanim or you talk about people
generally? Both. It seems in the Gemara, not only the Kohanim, but other people also.
So, Rabbi, since...
If you learn the Gemara, Kabbalist, do you know the name, the real name?
I don't know. Yeah, you have to ask the one that's a Kabbalist. I don't know it.
Not this Kabbalah Center.
So, Rabbi, because we don't know a name, the name of Hashem. So, all the things we were talking this morning, that you know, there is a Keli and all this. So, we've lost it.
It's a different, completely different.
If you knew it, are you obligated to teach your students after
no,
7 years?
No, he said not to teach.
After 7 years.
Yeah, but only to Tznuyin and this and that. What?
Okay. In Telim, they say in Telim the real name of Hashem there.
In Telim?
Yeah. Well, I heard that. I don't know if it's right.
The question is, what does it mean, the name of 42? Again, Rashi says, Shem ben Shem Mesrei, uben Aboy Meshtep Loi Pir Shulonu. Rashi says we don't know what it is. Yeah. But whatever it means, that's the Torah meaning of it.
It's not Ano Bekoach?
That has to do with the Shem Mab, because it's 42 letters. But what exactly is the Shema? But what does it mean? And maybe people know. I don't know.
What it has to do this with the what we are learning?
Welcome to Gemara. Mm-hmm. No, because Gemara was talking about the non-kosher families, mm-hmm. and it said that Chachamim only did it once in 7 years, twice in 7 years to the people that they should know who's not kosher families. So from that, the Gemara got into the revelation of the name of Hashem, which was also done once in 7 years or twice in 7 years. Okay, now the Gemara is going back to the purity of the families. Amr Shmuel Mishmei Desavim. Shmuel said the name of an older gentleman. Bavel, in the country of Bavel, Becheskes Ksheirei Medes, a person is assumed kosher until you know Baman Nifsel, that he's impure.
Baman Nifsel?
Baman Nifsel. Unless we know, huh?
How he became.
Yeah, but that simply means until you know in which way he is impure. But Rashi says what it actually means is until you. In other words, when in Bavel, if a guy comes, a Jew, you assume he's a kosher family. Shara Rotzitz, in all the other countries. Becheskes Psul, they named this. They're Pasul until proven innocent. Until you know that they're pure. Okay?
Even
meaning, Rashi says, no, when Eretz Yisrael, we didn't see it. Bavel, in other words, if you want to marry into a family in Bavel, unless if you know they're not kosher, they're kosher. All the other countries, the person is assumed not kosher, and you need to check into it to make sure they're kosher. Eretz Yisrael, what about the Eretz Yisrael? Mochzak lepsul. If they're known to be impure, pasul, then they're pasul. Mochzik l'kosher, if you know they're kosher, then they're kosher. So we're going to ask, the Mishnah contradicts itself. Because it says about Eretz Yisrael, if it's known to be pasul, which means if you don't know, it's kosher. Then the Mishnah says, if you know he's kosher. Which means if you don't know for sure he's kosher, he's straight. I mean, he's not kosher. So like the Gemara says, "How good for kosher?" The Mishnah contradicts. The Braisa contradicts itself because Amrit muchzik lepasul, you bought a family in Eretz Yisrael. You said, if they're established to be pasul, pasul. Meaning hostama, but if it's not known, then kosher, it's kosher. Then you right away say, v'adutani, and then it's taught, muchzik lekosher, kosher. If you know he's kosher, he's kosher. Meaning hostama, if you don't know, pasul. So which one is it?
Is it like a meat?
So Ravuna Batachliv is said name of Rav Lekash is not a contradiction. And here it's an interesting thing. Kan La Siya Isha, one is to get married to a woman. Kan La Siya Isha Laitzi Isha Miyadi, meaning like this. Before a guy gets married, if the status is unknown, because that's the contradiction, right? If in Eretz Yisrael, if you know he's kosher, no problem. If you know he's not kosher,
no problem.
It's not kosher. What if you don't know? So the Braisa seemingly contradicts itself. So Rav says it's not a contradiction. In order to get married, you need to check him in, check him out. Once he's married, to undo the marriage, to make him give a get, then you need to prove that it's not kosher. In other words, if the status is unknown, you can't get married without it, without the checking. But if he's married and the status is unknown, then you keep him. They stay married. Because you leave a chazaka, they're very simple. Because the din is, when you don't know, status quo. Right? So if a guy wants to get married, until you know for sure it's a kosher family, you can't get married. Because you have to stay status quo. If you're married and you don't know, then you stay status quo that you're married. So then you don't have to divorce.
That's Eretz Yisrael.
In Eretz Yisrael.
But if they're not kosher, you don't need to get them gay. If you're not kosher, you don't need to get them get.
It depends. If it's a mamzer, let's say, if you find out it's a mamzer, then you need to give a get. Yeah?
How does this answer the previous question?
The previous question says like this. In Eretz Yisrael, yeah? If you know that it's good, it's good. Which means?
If it's
unknown?
Unknown.
It's no good.
Yeah.
Then it says, if it's known to be no good, it's no good. Which means if it's unknown, it is good.
Okay.
Right? That means if it's unknown, it says good and not good. So Gemara says, if it's unknown, to get married, it's not good. You need to check it out. If the guy's married and you want to break the marriage, then you need to know that it wasn't good. Then the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Yosef. This is very interesting. Kosher sichosi bebavel. Whoever speaks, he speaks the language of Bavel. Masiyin le'isha. He can marry into the family. And as he's saying, the fact that he speaks Bavelish, Babylonian, whatever, it's okay. But now, though there are many people that speak Babylonian and they're not really kosher, so then we have to suspect them. But years ago, the Gemara says, if a guy just spoke the language, we know he was from Bavel, and therefore you didn't have to check it out, because Ezra, like we learned, cleared out the whole system. Now this is a very interesting Gemara.
Oh, when they have come up to Eretz Yisrael, we are talking about.
Right.
If they don't know Hebrew, they speak
Hebrew. Not Hebrew, Babylonian.
What's the real language after you get off the...
And the time of the Gemara is Aramaic.
Aramaic?
That's why the Gemara is in Aramaic. That's the language they spoke in Babel. This is a doozer story. Ze'iri have a kamishtamit minei drabi echinim. Ze'iri, who lived in Bavel, was avoiding Rabbi Yechanan, who lived in Eretz, the great Rabbi Yechanan. Yeah, Rabbi Yechanan is Shlokish, you know. He was avoiding him. Why? Dava Amalei, because Rabbi Yechanan was telling him, Nesiv Brat, I want you to marry my daughter. Rabbi Yechanan wanted Ze'iri as a son-in-law. So Ze'iri kept avoiding Rabbi Yechanan that he shouldn't ask him to marry his daughter. He didn't want to marry into the family. So what happens? Yom Echad, one day, they were traveling together, Rabbi Yechanan and Ze'iri were traveling together. Mata lo ulkim edemaya. They came across a pool of water. Okay. Arkeve le Rabbi Yechanan katzvei. Rabbi Yechanan, the Eidi gave Rabbi Yechanan a piggyback ride. The Kama'avali and took him across the pool. Because Rabbi Yechanan was older.
He was very heavy also. He must have been very strong.
Yeah, so Zeiri carried Rabbi Yechanan over the pool. Listen to this. Rabbi Yechanan said to him, Ereisen Ksheira, my Torah you could learn from me. Binten like Ksheira, my daughter's not good enough for you. The Gemara is going to say like this. Listen to this. Zeiri lived in Bavel. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says Bavel is pure and Eretz Yisrael isn't. So he says, I don't want to marry into your family. I don't know if you're pure.
Oh boy.
Can you believe it? Yeah. Rabbi Yechanan.
He says,
Rabbi Yechanan says to him, I understand. Taita for me you could learn. And my daughter is not good enough for you.
That's insulting.
My dait, 1 minute. My daitoch. He said, what's the reason? He understood. These were smart people. Rabbi Yechanan understood Zeiri didn't believe in the Yichus and Eretz Yisrael because only Bavel was pure. So he said, my daitoch. What are you afraid of? Ilema mitanan, he says like this. Rabbi Yechanan says to him, it says in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, Asari Yuchsin Olam Mibavel. 10, classic levels of families went up from Bavel. Kayanim Levim and so on. He said, Atu Kayanim Levim Yisraelu Kula Saluk. You think every kosher family left, Kihechad Yishtar Me'ani, just like some members of Kayanim left, a lot of the unfit people remain behind. He says like this. Rabbi Yechon said to him, if he didn't know, and the Gemara is going to say, he didn't know what we learned before, that Abulazza said that Ezra made Bava like a clean flower, perfectly pure. He didn't know that. So Rabbi Yechon said, listen, people went up from Bava to Eretz Yisrael. Some good people went, some bad people went. Some kosher, not kosher. So who said Bavel's any better than Eretz Yisrael? You might not also be kosher. And the Gemara said, because Ishtamitzei, Rabbi Yechanan, didn't know, Hada Amir Abulazar, this is what Abulazar said, Le'ozra Ezra mi Bavel. The Ezra didn't go up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Atcha Asir Kaselus Nikia, until he made Bavel like pure, fine flour. That means he separated all the non-kosher people, and then he went up. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan didn't know that Bavel was taka pure. So Rabbi Yechanan said to Zeiri, why do you think I'm not pure? You're from Bavel. Who says you're pure? So why won't you marry my daughter? It was interesting. Rabbi Yechanan was so great, and Zeiri was hesitant to marry into the family. It's very strange.
The Torah knowledge doesn't have to do if someone is a man there could be
Rabbi Yechanan said to him, come on, my Torah is good enough for you, my daughter isn't.
What kind of comparison is that? Again, a mamzer could not be a Talmud Chacham and they know a lot. What does that have to do with the Yichus?
But I don't think Rabbi Yechon was a mamzer.
I know, but I mean, the level of Torah learning, what does that have to do with Yichus? Rabbi Yochanan knows that.
I understand, but Rabbi Yechon said, if my Torah is good enough for you, my daughter should be good enough for you.
I guess they didn't care about physical attraction.
Why?
Maybe he didn't like her.
No, these people didn't. They wasn't into that stuff. Right. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. This is very interesting stories in the Gemara. Ula ikwalu pumpadisa lebe Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, the famous Rav Yehuda of the Gemara, was the Rav of Pumbedisa. So Ula once came to Pumbedisa. Chazal Rav Yitzchak, the Reid Rav Yehuda, he noticed that Rav Yehuda's son, Rav Yitzchak, the Gadol was grown up, Valeinasi, he was not married. So, Ula saw Rav Yehuda in Pumbedisa had a son that wasn't married, an older guy. Amalei, so he said to Rav Yehuda, "My time of lekavin mans of mar itzelebrei. Why didn't you take a wife for your son? Why didn't you marry him off?" Amalei, mi adaina hechad ansiv. Do I know where I can take a good kosher wife for my son? Amalei. He says, do me and you know where we come from? I mean, like, you got married, I got married. I mean, like, why is your son any worse?
Where was this? In Bavel?
In Pumbedisa, yeah. So he says, Dilma, maybe, we are descendants from those that the Pasuk says, Nashim Betzion Inu, the Pasuk in Eicha, says that they raped the Goyim, in the time of the Chur Mitzvah, they raped the Jewish girls. Besula is Ba'ari Yehuda, they raped the girls, the maidens of Yehuda. So he said, maybe we come from those families. Do we know? And if you're going to tell me a guy that lives with a Jewish girl, the kid's kosher, yeah? Okay, so it's a kosher child anyway. Maybe it's from those people that it says, Hasheichvim Amitas Shein. They lie. The Gemara is going to explain what this pasuk means, but there's a pasuk that says like this: they lie on beds of a marble, ivory, usrochim alaris, and they defile their couches. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yisrael Babchanina, Ela bnei Adam. This refers to people hamashtinim mayim b'fnei mitisei marumim, who urinate before their, in front of their beds when they're naked. Rabbi Abu scoffed at this interpretation, and he says, if that's the case, this that the pasuk says, because of what they did, they're going to go into galus. Yeah, he said, for urinating naked in front of your bed, you're going to galus. I'm like, what's the big crime? Because they urinate in front of the beds naked, yiglu b'reish gulim. That can't be what the pasuk means. What the pasuk means says like this: Ela amir ababu. What the pasuk means is, elu bnei adam. It refers to people. Shaeichlem v'shaisim zem zeb. They drink. They get drunk. Men and women together. Umarbik mitisem zubezu, and they attach their beds one to the next. Umachfliv neshesem zelos, and they do wife swapping. Umasrichem arseisayim. And they make their bed smell b'shich v'zera with semen she'enu shelahem. Okay? So he says, so we said to him like this. Ula said to Rav Yehuda, why don't you marry your son? So he said, I can't find where am I supposed to find a kosher family? He says, and me and you are kosher. Do we know? Maybe we came from those people. That this wife swapping and we're all mamzeirim. How do you know? You can't live like that. Amalei heichanavit. So Rav Yehuda said, okay, well, tell me how to find the shidduch for my son. He said, Amalei, and this is a very profound thing, Zil basa shtikusa, go after silence. Meaning, if you find a family that's peaceable, quiet, not making fights with everybody, a peaceful family, that's a kosher girl. That's a kosher family. And he says, this is the way they used to check out people in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, how did they check out families to marry into? He said, when two people would fight, they looked which one of the two would quiet down first, calm down first. They said, that's the genealogical power, purity more than the other. So Rav Yehuda, Ula said to Rav Yehuda, let me tell you how to find the shidduch. Go look at the family. If they're nice, they're not fighting without the whole world, they're peaceful. You know, that's the family you can marry. And the assumption is that they're a kosher breed. Then they're kosher things. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, shtikusa b'bavel, the silence of families in Bavel, haini yuchusa, that was the way of establishing their purity. In other words, if it's a peaceful family in Bavel, there's a kosher family to marry into. One minute. So the Gemara says, once Rav wants to arrive in the house of Bei Bar Shafi Cholo, yeah, I mean the guy, Ubadak Bahu, and he investigated them, yeah. So it said, my Rabbi Yehusa, Mistami checked out their lineage. The Gemara says, Lei b'shtikusa. No, he bet he checked out. The Gemara said, Rav checked them out. So simply, the Gemara thought, it means Rav checked out the lineage of the kosher people. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what Rav checked out. Rav checked out, ishtiki loy shostik, if they're quiet people or not quiet people. So the Gemara's outcome of this whole thing, by the way, is a very interesting outcome.
So that means that they were they had yechus.
Right. If it's not a, the Gemara says about a mamzer, kiven the chutz of kulahai, he had so much chutzpah, then you know he's a mamzer. The Gemara says, the Gemara is going to say, let's see the Gemara, we'll see. Amirav yud amirav. Imro isa shnei bnei adam shemizgarin zebezeh. You see two people are always fighting with each other. Shemiz psul yesh be'echad meim. One of them is not pure. Ve'manichan eisei, and heaven will not allow him lidavik echad b'chaveira to intermarry. Okay? Meaning like this. Bashi explains what the Gemara means is when Hashem knows that the family is not pure, Hashem will make them fight with each other. And then this is all coming from Hashem, that they shouldn't intermarry with each other because they're fighting. But the real reason is because one of the families is not pure.
So the other both of them have to fight. I mean, once then both of them.
No, Mark says the one that quiets down first. The one that quiets down first is the good one.
It's interesting. The one that quiets down first doesn't say the one that is quiet.
Mm-hmm. Quiets down first. Okay, then he says like this: Amir of Yeshua ben Levi, similar Gemara. Imreisa shtei mishpachesim is guard. Before he said two people fighting. Mm-hmm. Here he says if two families are always fighting with each other. Shemitz psul yesh ba'achas mim. Therefore, why did Hashem make it they're fighting? Because one family is not kosher. V'manichan eisa Hashem from heaven doesn't allow them to marry the next family. Okay. But the Masha explains. He brings on over at the bottom. The Masha explains that Rabbi Shua ben Levi is actually arguing on Rav. Rav said, two individuals fighting. Something's wrong with one of them. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, families that fight. So the Masha explains, what's the difference of opinion? Rav holds, even two individuals, if they're fighting, it's because Hashem doesn't want them to intermarry. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, no, individuals can fight for a lot of things. When families fight, it's a whole group. Group against group, so that's coming from heaven. But two individuals fighting, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, not a problem.
Family feud.
Usually, even the two families, not the whole family, one in the family fighting with another. No?
No.
Usually Jewish families always fight.
Family feud.
Oh, we can't say that. So that means that they are not.
I don't know. Amir Apope Sove Mishmei Rav. The old Apope said the name of Rav. Bovel is Bria. Bovel is healthy. What does it mean healthy? All the people are kosher. Mishan, which is an area next to Bovel, is Misa, dead. Meaning all the residents are Mamzerim. Madai is Chayla Il. And Elam is Geisesis. Moribund, meaning they're almost dying. Just a question, how many mamzeidim are there? So it's a bubble is healthy, meaning there's no mamzeidim. What's his name? Mishan, they're all mamzeidim. And Madai is 50-50, and Elam is mostly
mamzeidim. We talk about mamzeidim, there are other kind of...
Yeah, but this is the main psul is mamzeidim. So Gemara says, Mamein chulim chelen legeisesin. It says Madai is Chayla and Elam is Geisis. What's the difference? So Reiv Chaylem L'chayim. Most sick people live. Reiv Geisis in the Misa. Most people in the dying process die. So he said basically what he said, that in most of the people in Madai are kosher. They're only sick. But in Elam, most of the people are Mamzerim.
Either they are or they behave like a Mamzerim.
Usually goes hand in hand.
Well, still, what's the difference?
Concentrating of the Jewish people in one part means this part is kosher. If no concentration of Jewish people means...
Like Esfahan and Tehran and Hamadan.
Like Maharim, 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 Maharim,
Ghetto.
The ghetto?
Yeah, ghetto is...
A lot of these dinim are pushing not very practical today, because today the world is so mixed up for the last 2,000 years that all these rules, Babel is not any purer than anywhere else today.
So what is the difference between the geisus and...
No, he says most geisus and die, which means in Elam, which is geisus, most of the people are mamzeidim. Made, when most people are sick, most people live, so that means they're healthy.
But when Ezra brought 40,000 people to Israel, were they okay?
Yeah, he made sure they're all pure.
Okay.
So now Eretz Israel is pure. I don't understand.
Now?
No, I mean back then.
No, because Eretz Israel, he said, Eretz Israel, as I said, let the... No, forget. The people that went up with Ezra to Eretz Israel, Ezra did not purify. He said, let the Sanhedrin in Eretz Israel do it. The ones left in Babel, he said, there's nobody there. Let me straighten them out. Now the Gemara is going to ask an interesting question. So where is the boundaries of Babel? We're speaking Babel, 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 Babel. The Gemara says, Ad Heichan, he Babel. So it says like this. Dava Amar Ad Nahar Azok, until the river Azok. Shmuel says, until Nahar Yoyani. Okay? Now, Le'el B'diglas Ad Heicha, how far does Babel go upstream on the Tigris River? Dava Amar until Bagda V'Avna, until Bagda and Avna, these were cities. Shmuel Amar Ad Mushkani, until Mushkani. I mean, here it's interesting, in our Gemara there's a map. They made a Babel with the names of the cities that the Gemara is mentioning, you know, to show it, from where to where it went.
Never heard of any of these ones.
Well, Gemara says it here.
No, I know, but...
Because they weren't Torah centers. What you heard, even over here, you have Pumbedisa, Narda, Masim Achusya, Sura, Baghdad. These were well-known Torah centers.
So they were not in Iran, they were in Baghdad.
Babel.
Babel was in Baghdad?
Baghdad.
It was in that area.
Baghdad, yeah, here's Baghdad.
Yeah, Babel is Iraq.
Here's Baghdad. Iraq. This is all Iraq.
Oh, so they didn't.
But it was under
here you have Iran, it's Hamadan,
yeah.
Nawand, so Helmand.
Oh, it was that far away.
No, Sibis. Huh?
Yeah.
Nawand, Helmand, Hamadan.
Ahvaz.
That's not Babel?
No.
It's by the...
That's Iran. There was Iran and Iraq. Iraq today, basically, not exactly the borders, but Babel today is Iraq. The whole Gemara was created in Iraq. Can you believe it?
Then we say like Esther Mordechai in Babel.
It's too far. It was very far.
They were in Iran. Iran.
Yeah, but they were far.
They weren't. Well, Shagumi.
Iran ruled over after the 70 years.
Yeah, they went. Then the Megillah says Asher Haglam Yerushalayim, right? The God Asher Haglam says Im Nevuchad Im Nichon Yamalch Yehuda. But he went Asher Haglam Nevuchadnezzar Malach Babel. Nebuchadnezzar, in the first base of Migdash, right, was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar.
He put
the Jews into Babel and various different places. But even then, we said Babel was not the Torah center until Rav. We said last week, the Gemara says, Rav came, Bikur Matzah, he found an open valley, meaning no Torah, the Gadar Bageder, and he made a fence around it, the Gemara says. In other words, Rav brought Torah to Babel. Because all the scholars were still in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, all them were living in Eretz Yisrael. Even the colleagues of Rav were Rabbi Yechanan, Reish Lakish. They also lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav was the first one to come to Babel. And then Shmuel came, and I don't know exactly who came first, second. But it seems in the Gemara that Rav came first. And then the rest of the Amiroim came from Babel, to Babel, from Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes they would travel back and forth.
Rav and Shmuel.
Yeah.
Together.
So in fact, the Gemara says, we learned all, not, wrong Gemara, in Shabbos, early on the Gemara, in the earlier pages of Shabbos, the Gemara says about when a meal starts, when you undo your belt or you do something. So the Gemara says, one was for Babel, one was for Eretz Yisrael. So there's argument Rashi and Taisus over there. But Taisus says, the guy that lived in Babel went to Eretz Yisrael to learn. Because it says, you should go travel to learn Torah. So the guys in Bavel used to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn. The guys from Eretz Yisrael went to Bavel to learn. And the Gemara at the end of Ksubis, when the Gemara speaks about not going out of Eretz Yisrael, whoever leaves Eretz Yisrael is like sinning and all that terrible stuff. So the Me'iri, the famous Me'iri at the end of Ksubis says that in the time of the Gemara, Bavel was like Eretz Yisrael. Whoever moved out of Bavel was like moving out of Eretz Yisrael. It's like you have no God and you're serving idols and all those things. Because Bavel became the center of Torah after the era of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. You still have Talmud Yerushalmi. Right? But Talmud Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yechanan wrote, this is Rabbi Yechanan that got the piggyback from Ze'iri, that Rabbi Yechanan authored Talmud Yerushalmi.
Wow.
100 years before Talmud Bavli. So in those 100 years, after Yerushalmi was compiled, most of the scholars went to Bavel to learn.
So, it was before the time of Bavel that all the Jews were in Iran.
Iran was in the days of Purim.
So that after would be that was before the times of Gemara, yeah.
No. Purim happened at the end of the 70 years.
This is after the...
No.
This is way after.
Yeah, this is.
In fact, the
Gemara
is going to talk about Rav or Susi, whatchamacallit, Abai or Rav Yosef, whoever it is.
So it moved. So Jews from Iran, they moved.
Jews moved.
The Persian Empire.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, but their location.
Therefore, the Persian Empire, they moved to Beverly Hills.
Among other places.
And Great Neck.
And Westwood.
Okay. Then the Gemara, again, I mean, you can look at the map, but it's much like the Gemara is discussing where the boundaries of Bavel are. Okay, then the Gemara says, V'loi Mushkini b'chlal, how could you say Mushkini is not? Shmuel said it goes until Mushkini, which the Gemara thought now means until Mushkini. That means Mushkini is not Bavel. So the Gemara says, how can you say it? V'amar Rabchia bar Abba Meshmul. Rabchia bar Abba said the name of Shmuel. Mushkini is kegela liyuchsin. Is as pure as Bavel. That means Mushkini is part of Bavel. Right? How could you say until Mushkini? So the Gemara says, no, that's what Shmuel meant, Taka. Ad Mushkini u'Mushkini b'chlal. When he said until, he did mean until Mushkini, meant including Mushkini, until the end of Mushkini.
Ad b'chlal.
L'sate, l'tachtis, how far does Bavel go downward? Bediglas, how far does it go down in the Tigris River? Amar Rav Shmuel ad Apaima Tata, until the lower Apaima, Apamya. There was, and the Gemara explains, Tartan Apamya Haven. There are two places called Apamya. Chod Alisa, one was more upstream. Chod Tata, one was downstream. Chod Ksheira, one the residents were kosher. Chod Psulim.
And all these big towns are by a river.
Yeah. Ubein chada lechada, between one to the next, how far was it? A parsa. Okay? It's approximately 2.5 to 3 miles. That's how far they were from each other. 2.5 to 3 miles away from each other. And also, kokabda adadi, they were meticulously strict with one another, meaning they didn't mix at all. It says, Afilu Gura le Mishta Adali. They wouldn't even lend a flame from one city to the next.
Wow.
That's how much they hated each other. V'simanach, and the sign, simon is, Hade Mishtane Mishanus. The one that spoke the language of Mishan, that's the good one. The one that didn't speak the language of Mishan, that was the bad one. He was just describing the boundaries of Bavel. And again, the Gemara needed to know who's kosher, who's not kosher. Then the Gemara says, Le'il b'paras adhecha, how far upstream does it go up on the Euphrates River? So it says, Rav Amar ad Akra de Tubakni, until Akra de Tubalkni, whatever. Shmuel Amar ad Gisha de Repras, until the Euphrates Bridge. Rav Yechanan Amar ad Mavres de Gizma, until the Gizma crossing. Again, on the map, they have all these pictures. So it says, Layat Abaya Visema. Some say it was Abaya, or some say it was Rav Yosef, who cursed anybody that relied on the opinion of Rav. And the Gemara asks, Ad Rav Layit, he only cursed the opinion of Rav at the Shmuel Layit. He didn't curse the people that followed Shmuel. Shmuel was stricter than Rav. I'm sorry, more lenient than Rav. So Gemara says, no. El Layit Ad Rav Koshkin and Shmuel. He cursed whoever relied on. Now, the Mefarshim right away say, it wasn't that Rav Yosef said Rav was wrong. In Rav's time, that's where the boundaries of purity were. But after Rav died, because Abai and Rav Yosef were like three generations after Rav, so in their times, there weren't kosher Jews there. In other words, what Rav Yosef, Abai or Rav Yosef, depending which opinion, is not saying Rav was wrong. When Rav said, until this place is pure, in Rav's time, the people until that place were pure. But later generations, those people were not pure anymore. So therefore, Rav Yosef or Abaya said, whoever relies on Rav's opinion for today is wrong. Because the world, the country changed. The Boy Seima, or another answer. Ad Rav Layit, he cursed the opinion of Rav, but not Shmuel. Why? The Gishra de Bei Pras, the bridge of Bei Pras, so therefore Shmuel was stricter, not lenient, like the Gemara said before. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Va'idna the liver parsoi. Now in current times, since it moved up to the Persians, the bridge is further upstream than...
What page,
next.
72A1.
Okay.
So then it even changed that.
It's very depressing.
Why?
So who has yuchs and who doesn't? It's all mixed up. And
that's the mile. If we're all mixed up, we can marry mixed ups.
Okay. Come on, so, marry outside but, of faith, I mean,
outside someone, another tribesman.
So the question is...
Only if they convert. Otherwise intermarriage. Yeah, and otherwise intermarriage.
Intermarriage, yeah.
The question is not that they are not Jews. The question is...
The Mamzerim and kosher people, yes.
Can I be a
kid?
They're still Jewish, but they're Mamzerim.
Yeah, okay, fine, it's fine. But that's a little bit more...
You can count them for a minion.
Yeah, I mean... just...
It seems like over there it's mostly... Or
not only that, there was a lot of in Bavel, a lot of Jews married non-Jewish women, and the question was if they're Jewish, tak, if they're not Jewish. It was a question generally.
So that's what I'm talking about.
What do you think in America today, with the high rate of intermarriage, you have a big problem today also with Yichsen? No, you have to check, you know, to make sure there's no.
60%.
Yeah, 60% intermarriage rate.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. So when you have to know, you know.
In Iran was not, definitely was not like that. I mean, it was one.
When the Jews were tortured, they never intermarried.
Yeah.
When they have freedom, that's when they intermarried.
More than Hitler. They say that.
The Jews are doing to themselves more than Hitler did, yeah. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, La'ai Gisa de Pras, when it says, how far did the bubble go on the other side of the Euphrates? Amalei said, my daita, why are you asking? Mishum Biram, you want to know the status of Biram? He said, Miyachse de Pumpadisa, the most kosher families in Pumpadisa, Mikirim Nazbe married, took wives from Biram. So obviously that the Biram were pure people. If not, the pure families of Pumpadisa wouldn't be marrying them. Okay, then he says like this. Now starts a different...
What happened to the... Did he marry with the rabbi's daughter or not? It doesn't finish the story.
They lived happily ever after.
Because well, they never married.
It didn't say if they married. It doesn't say... Rabbi Yochanan wanted him. It doesn't say what happened.
Rabbi Yochanan tried to fix his daughter and his sister.
Yeah. Rechem was a shatchan. He married off his sister to Reish Lakish. He wanted to marry off his daughter to Ze'ini.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now before we start this next piece, I just need to give a simple introduction over here. In Gittin, the beginning of the Gemara Gittin, it says that when a person brings a get, okay, from Chutz Lardes, Tarech Yisrael, the first mission in Gittin, Hamevi Gav Medina Sayyam, okay, he has to say, the witness, the shliach, that brought the get, has to say, Befani Nichta, Befani Nechta. The get was written in front of me, the get was sealed in front of me, signed in front of me, meaning, I know for sure the get is a kosher get. Because otherwise we don't know, you know, if it's a kosher get or not. Now, if you bring a get in Eretz Yisrael, so the assumption is, everybody knew the laws of Gittin, so therefore the assumption is it's a kosher get. So that's what the Mishnah says.
You
so
bring it from outside to Eretz Yisrael.
No, if you bring a get from Eretz Yisrael to outside, you don't need to do it. Because in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knew the halacha is already a get. If you bring a get from Chutz Lardetz into Eretz Yisrael, then you needed to say that I know for sure it's a kosher get.
All the time, the Chachamim, they were in Bavo.
1 second. The Gemara doesn't say from Bavo. The Gemara says from outside Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, you need to say Befani Nechta, Befani Nechta. So the Gemara over there says, Rav said, Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael. Okay? That means if you bring a get from Bavel, you don't need to say it's kosher because we assume it's kosher. Okay. So now the Gemara is asking a very simple question. We just described the boundaries of Bavel for Yuchsin. Are the same boundaries for get or not? As far as the get is concerned, are these boundaries of Bavel the same or not? So the Gemara says like this, Amar Apap, K'machleikas li'yuchsin, just like the argument about, you know, the various opinions between Rav and Shmuel, what the boundaries of Bavel are, K'ach machleikas li'nyin gittin. The machleikas is equally for gittin. And as Rav and Shmuel that argue about the borders of Bavel for yichus, the same argument is for gittin. Rav Yosef says no, machleikas li'yuchsin. The argument is only about yichus. Avol gittin, but as far as gittin go, everybody holds at arba tinyana de gifshir until the second willow swamp past the bridge. Meaning, the boundaries of Bavel are even bigger. So the Papa says, whatever the boundaries are for yichus, that's the boundaries for a get. Rav Yosef said no. The boundaries are only for yuchsin. Okay, that's where argument Rav and Shmuel. When it comes to getting, everybody agrees that it's till a certain distance, until a certain place. There's no argument.
Or decrease it?
Huh?
They added or they decrease it or increase it?
It seemed that it was bigger. Yeah. I don't know if it was, whatever, the bottom line is, everybody agrees that that's the boundary for Bavel. I don't know if it's bigger or small, I don't know. So Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama said, Chavel Yama, which is a city, that was Chelasa the Bavel, the glory of Bavel. Shunya v'guvya, Shunya and Guvya, Techleilosa are the glory of Chavel Yama. Whatever, these are districts. And he said, this city is the crown glory of that city. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, also, Tzitzera is the glory of Chavel Yama. Okay, there are all places in Chavel Yama, whichever the place. Now the Gemara says, these are the crown for them. Tanya Namihochi, so we learned also in the Braisim, Chanan ben Pinchas says, Chavil Yama is the glory of Bavel. Okay? Now it was like a province in Bavel. Yes, he says, Chavil Yama is the glory of Bavel. Shonya v'guvya v'tzitzera, Shonya guvya v'tzitzera, Tchelosu de Chavil Yama is the glory of Chavil Yama. In other words, The province of Hevel Yam is the glory of Bavel, and this is the glory of this present. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amir HaPapem, Vayidna I'ara Beikusoi. Nowadays, the Kutim, are mixed with them, and therefore they're not the crown anymore. The Gemara says, V'lohi. What HaPapem said is not true. They weren't mixed there. Why did Apophis speak negatively about that place? He says, it's the Dubai Minayo, that once somebody requested a wife from them, and they didn't give him. Akuti once requested a wife from them, from these people, and they didn't give it.
From the Jews?
Yeah. So, rumor had it. So what, you know, the story gets mm-hmm. What did I say? The story gets hair and grows, and what happened is people said the Kutim mixed with them. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't true. A Kuti wanted to marry a girl from that area, and they said no. So it's so funny the way people used to decide Shaduchim for everybody, and they didn't give it to him. It's like...
Well, that's what's happened in Iran also. So it goes back to those days. And from this town, that town, you know.
Yeah. Okay, my Chavo Yama. What is Chavo Yama? Amar HaPapa Zupras de Bursi. It's the region of the Euphrates near Bursif. Let's see where Bursif is. Yeah, here's Bursif. So Bursif is the middle of Bavel in the picture. So you can smack the middle of Bavel. It was on the Euphrates River. See, it's according to this picture, the Tigris River was on the west of Bavel, and the Euphrates Tigris River was east,
right.
And Euphrates River was west.
Right.
And Bavel was between the Tigris and Euphrates. And by the way, as you see, all the big cities were on the rivers.
Right. That's how they moved stuff on.
No, because that's what people needed water to drink.
No, also they moved with
commerce.
Ships.
Commerce. But you know, even today, in the text of a get, okay, they write, in this and in this city, which is on this and this river.
What did they say about Yerushalayim, which is the only city in ancient times, major city in ancient times, which wasn't on a river?
I don't know. I don't know what they write in Yerushalayim. I can ask. My son-in-law sat by a lot of git in Yerushalayim. I'll ask him what they wrote there. But... they would write, even the city of Los Angeles, they write the city of Los Angeles and that's on the Los Angeles River. And if a city doesn't have a river, b'chal, they don't write Gittin there.
So, yeah,
I know what they do in Yerushalayim.
There's no river, LA River, have you seen it?
Another river.
Colorado.
They got her.
Huh? No, there's a river area. There's no water in the river.
Yeah, I know, I've been there.
Officially, there was a river.
There is a river still.
It's dried up, but there's a river.
It's dry up.
So you can't give a gift, there's no river?
In a city where there's no river.
No.